Fatima and the Mysteries of the Ark of the Covenant. The 34th episode of Signs and Secrets by Mariana Barthold. The Church Fathers emphasize striking parallels between Old and New Testaments, which indicate the Ark of the Covenant is a type foreshadowing the much greater Blessed Virgin Mary. For example, in the 4th century, St. Athanasius wrote, "To whom among all creatures shall I compare you, O Virgin? You are greater than them all. O Ark of the New Covenant, clothed with purity instead of gold, you are the Ark in which is found the golden vessel containing the true manna, that is, the flesh in which divinity resides. If we say that the cherubim are great, you are greater than they, for the cherubim carry the throne of God, while you hold God in your hands." And in Scripture, look to the second book of Kings, or 2 Samuel, chapter 6, verses 9 and 15, and link them to Luke chapter 1, verses 43 and 42, respectively. Or again, the verb overshadow, episkiase in Greek, used by Luke, chapter 1, verse 25, to describe the Holy Ghost's action upon Mary, and likewise used by Moses in Exodus, chapters 24 and 40, to describe the Shekinah, or the glory of God, overshadowing the ark.
On the day which we call the Feast of the Annunciation, St. Gabriel the Archangel appeared to the Virgin Mary, addressing her as full of grace. She, who was in the Old Testament both foreshadowed and prophesied. At Fatima, the Lord God allowed the Virgin to be manifested as the true Ark of the Covenant, because only witnesses to these apparitions saw a small, white, delicate cloud hovering over the 3-foot-high hommok tree upon which the Madonna stood. That cloud called to mind the Old Testament cloud which manifested the Lord's presence over the Ark of the Covenant, and later in the temple. Now, here is another thing upon which we might contemplate. If we trust in God's biblical revelations, then we will know that the Ark of the Covenant still exists. However, by God's command, it remains hidden until the end times, when it shall, as it seems, play in the future a salvific role. Dear listeners, hello and welcome. I'm Mariana Barthold, the host of Signs and Secrets, featured by the Fatima Center. I'm the author of Fatima, the Signs and Secrets, Guadalupe, Secrets of the Image, and I am the host of my own growing channel, Genesis 315. Thanks to the generosity of the Fatima Center, you will find in the description box various links to my works and to my channel. To continue. The saints and the pious writers are unanimous in their opinion that the Blessed Virgin Mary was in ancient times announced by various prophecies and foreshadowed by many symbols, and so wrote a 19th century priest and author. The reason, no doubt, must be sought in Mary's excellence and dignity. She was not only the purest of creatures, but moreover, she was destined to be associated in a singular manner in the great work of our redemption. When, therefore, the coming of the Messiah is foretold and described, it is but natural that the mother of the Redeemer should be, if not always as clearly depicted as she is in Genesis and Isaiah, at least obscurely announced and represented or insinuated by figures and comparisons. Now, in explaining why the Lord gave us in the Holy Scriptures various types and symbols, that same author reminds us that if then we desire to know something concerning the Mother of God, let us look attentively at the pictures given of her in Holy Scripture. And if we study them well, we shall not fail to find them both pleasing and instructive. The advantages of comparisons and parables are also seen from the fact that our blessed Savior had made frequent use of them in instructing the people. Let us take, for example, the mystery of the Blessed Eucharist. God prepared his people for it by the figures and the symbols of the Old Law, such as the Paschal Lamb, the manna in the Ark of the Covenant, and the loaves of proposition. As our 19th century priest author also wrote, our dear Savior gives them additional similitudes. He changes water into wine. He multiplies the loaves. He also reminds them of the figures of old. He speaks of the manna and describes himself as the living bread come down from heaven. Under God, there is not a more sublime object than Mary, says our author. And while we may, for our edification, contemplate her perfections, still, we fall short. But be that as it may, devotion to Our Lady will increase because our hearts are naturally inclined to love what is good and kind. We have then before us a great scope and abundant matter, for the symbols of Our Blessed Lady are very numerous. Consider, for example, the Litany of Loreto, when we hail Our Lady Mary by many titles, the majority of which issue from her Old Testament figures, including, but not limited to, the Tower of David, Morning Star, House of Gold, Gate of Heaven, and Ark of the Covenant. Now, in this next section, I will be speaking about the Ark of the Covenant, which was created by God's command. And we will further see why it is truly a wondrous figure of Our Lady Mary. In the book of Exodus, chapter 25, we read of the Lord's command to Moses to gather certain materials that he prescribed for the making of the tabernacle, the Ark of the Covenant, the candlestick, etc. While every detail of this chapter is significant, this, my first episode, of which there will be two on the Ark of the Covenant, will highlight only certain items or declarations which I hope will soon become apparent. That said, the careful reading of Exodus chapter 25 is essential, for it's apparent that the Holy Trinity wanted free will offerings to see the realization of his requirements. And in our own day, we see the same with the requests of God through Our Lady of Fatima. So, to read from the book of Exodus, quote, "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, that they bring first fruits to me. Of every man that offereth of his own accord, you shall take them." Now, after those words, the Lord God gave specific instructions of materials, including gold, silver, and brass. And then he commanded the colors and the materials, including sedum wood, of which I will shortly speak. The Almighty also required oil, spices, sweet-smelling incense, onyx stones, and precious stones to adorn the ephod and the rationale. That's something to remember, probably, I think, in the next episode. "And, said the Lord, they shall make me a sanctuary, and I will dwell in the midst of them." He gave explicit instructions for the tabernacle and the vessels, starting with these words in Exodus 25, verse 10, "Frame an ark of sittim wood." One observes the following note in the Douay-Rheim translation of the Holy Scriptures to that same verse about the sittim wood, which was chosen by God to frame the ark. Quote, "The wood of a tree that grows in the wilderness, which is said to be incorruptible." And here we recognize the foreshadowing of the Blessed Virgin Mary as the Immaculate Conception, which is a dogma of the faith, about which I will speak later in this episode. The Lord further instructed that the Ark of the Covenant, already incorruptibly framed, was with the purest gold to be entirely plated, both within and without, meaning both inside and outside. As I explained in my book, Fatima, The Signs and Secrets, gold represents the glory of God, his divine nature, and his revelation. Yellow gold is the color of the sun, which symbolizes Jesus, the Son of God, the Lord and Savior of the world. Gold is also the symbol of unselfish and complete emulation to God. In other words, the virtue of charity, which St. Louis de Montfort called the gold of love and the fulfillment of the whole law. As I continued in my Fatima book, even in ancient times, purest gold was considered a precious metal, and it was one reserved for the Ark of the Covenant, the temple, and all the vessels that served the Lord. St. Alphonsus de Liguori wrote, "In the book of Exodus, we read that God commanded Moses to make a mercy seat of the purest gold, because it was thence that he would speak to him. As the Lord said, there will I give orders and will speak to thee." So the root of the word propitiatory, another word for the seat, means to pacify or placate, to conciliate, to reconcile. It also means to intercede, to calm, to mediate, or to atone. All of these verbs of being or action apply to both our Lord and our Lady in both their prophecies about them in the Old Testament and in their earthly lives as we learn of them in the New. Like the Ark of the Covenant, which it covered, the Old Testament's mercy seat is also a figure type for the Virgin Mary, upon whom God rests and speaks to his people, just as he did in the Old Testament history and as he is doing again and has done in modern times, most spectacularly, of course, at Fatima, which, as I said in my book, is the crown of all Marian apparitions. And by the way, simply to clarify, by those words, when I'm speaking about God manifesting himself, I, of course, mean Fatima and other Marian apparitions approved by the Church to be of supernatural origin and thus worthy of belief. Now, of Our Lady Mary as the golden ark of the New Testament, again, I will be quoting from our 19th century priest, Father Thaddeus, who wrote, "Two golden cherubim, placed one on either side of the propitiatory with their wings extended, covered the ark, and formed, as it were, a throne for the God of all sanctity and majesty." Hence comes the expression which we often meet in Holy Scripture, of God sitting upon the cherubim. This ark was considered by the Israelites as their most precious and glorious treasure. It contained the tables of the law, and hence it was called Ark of the Covenant, or of Testimony, which names are frequently given to the law itself in Holy Writ. As Our Lady Mary, as a true ark, and as written by Father Thaddeus, who penned the following, we can contemplate these words. Mary is the Ark of the New Testament, the sacred Ark of the living God, as St. John Damascene calls her. This Ark was not only made at God's command, but it was in a special manner the work of his own hands and his masterpiece. As the Ark of old was made of incorruptible wood, so Mary was free from the corruption of sin, both by her immaculate conception and also by a special privilege which God granted her so as to preserve her from all contagion of actual sin. The Ark was covered with the purest gold, both within and without. In this gold we may see a figure of Mary's virtues. Virtues so eminent that, as Saint Bernard remarks, although at first sight other saints appear to have possessed them in common with the Blessed Virgin, yet if we consider them attentively, we will perceive that the Mother of God possessed them in a singular manner and in the highest degree of perfection. In the saints, some or other virtue shines forth with more brilliancy than the others, but in Mary, they are all prominent and conspicuous by their brightness. The virtues have various degrees, and some saints have reached, in their practice, a higher degree than the others, but Mary attained the summit of perfection in the exercise of every virtue. In the covering of gold within and without of the ark, we may also see a symbol of Mary's golden charity. Interiorly, she was enriched with the most perfect love of God. Exteriorly, she shed the luster of the most tender affection for her neighbor. Within, she endeavored to please God. She was rapt in contemplation. She had her conversation in heaven. Without, that is, in her exterior actions, she was solicitous concerning the wants of her fellow creatures. She edified all who approached her by her incomparable example, and she spread around her the sweet odor of a holy life. And in fact, when saints die with this beautiful scent around them, it is called the odor of sanctity. The ark was surmounted by a crown of the purest gold. Mary, the mystical ark, wears a golden crown, and this crown is a symbol of her royal dignity. She has a right to this crown in her quality of daughter of the royal house of David. She has a greater claim to it as being the mother of God. Her prerogatives and her exalted position give her the right to this crown as the queen of angels and saints. This glorious crown prepared for her from all eternity was solemnly placed upon her head by her divine Son on the glorious day of her assumption into heaven, and it was a reward of her virtues, her sufferings, and her sacrifices. The two cherubim who covered the ark with their outspread wings put us in mind of the special care and protection with which God surrounded our Blessed Lady and the particular vigilance with which he watched over her. If we are all placed under the guardianship of the angels of God, and we are, as the psalmist declares, he hath given his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways, as we read in Psalms 90, verse 11, how jealously must they have watched over the Blessed Virgin, who no doubt was in a special manner entrusted to their care. Assuredly, they protected her with a flaming sword as they guarded paradise of old and prevented the enemy from coming near her to do her harm. In the next episode, I will continue on this beautiful topic of the Ark of the Covenant by addressing the power of the Ark of the Covenant, symbolizing the Virgin most powerful. Finally, please allow me to share this reminder that you are invited to join me for more episodes of Signs and Secrets here on the Fatima Center channel. Until the next time, may God bless you, and may Our Lady Mary keep you and yours under her starry mantle. Salve Regina.
This presentation has been brought to you by the Fatima Center. Copyright 2024, all rights reserved. We invite you to participate in the Fatima Center's 100 by 100 First Saturday Challenge. Sign up and find out more at our website, fatima.org/100x100. And please help the Fatima Center accomplish its mission to make the full message of Our Lady of Fatima known, understood, loved, and obeyed by all. Support Our Lady's Apostolate with your prayers and a monthly donation. Make it part of your regular tithe, and also by sharing Fatima resources with others. All this can be found at our website, fatima.org, or call us at 1-800-263-8160. May God reward you. Saint Francisco and Saint Jacinta, pray for us. Lady of the Rosary, pray for us.